Well, I interact with my white brothers and sisters quite a lot. I interact with farmers. I interact with those in the business sector, in academia, even in the media. I interact with our white compatriots quite a lot. And my message is simple. It is, you know, never see yourself or define yourself outside of your South Africanness. You are an integral part of South Africa. Come to terms with the reality that a lot of injustice was done against black people and it benefited our white compatriots. See it as your responsibility to make whatever contribution seems necessary to foster or to contribute towards national unity and reconciliation. Whatever opportunity you see of bringing into the fold the previously excluded, seize it, use it so that we can together build a united, reconciled, peaceful nation that shares in the prosperity of the nation. And I say to them, I was saying to a group of people on Tuesday at the University of Northwest, both black and white, I said, you know, there is so much that brings us together as the people of South Africa. We tend to focus more on what divides us. Don't listen to divisive voices, the violent voices out there, whether they come from black people or white people. Decide for yourself to pursue the path of peace, unity, and reconciliation, because when we embrace that path, then we are, sooner rather than later, going to find ourselves realizing that there is actually so much more available for all of us. We don't have to hoard whatever is available to one racial group. Remember, before the eyes of God, there is no Greek, there is no Hebrew. We are all just people or children of God. So that which Nelson Mandela championed so admirably, to bring black and white people together, notwithstanding whatever challenges might still be lingering on in their lives. Once a few of us begin to identify the need to pursue the path of peace, unity, and reconciliation, others within our sphere of influence will come to the party, and before you know it, there will be a critical mass of the people of South Africa wanting unity and reconciliation. I sometimes become even more radical in my approach and say, look at the African people in South Africa. Are we as united as we ought to be as the different tribes? What do some say about the Tshivenda people? What do say some about the Xitonga people? What do some say about the Zulus and the Xhosas, the Botswana people? Are we as united as we pretend to be, or has tribalism consumed us to the point where when a president is a Muvenda person, now the Venda people say, at long last we have arrived, because they did not associate themselves with the previous presidents who were not of their tribe? What do we say about the Indians? What do the Indians say about others? What do we say about Coloureds? Particularly when we see them not having teeth in front. What sort of prejudices and stereotypes are there? So what do we say about people from other African countries? We even say people from Africa, as if we are not in Africa ourselves. So there is a radical paradigm shift that we all need to embark upon and say, I don't care what others say. I want peace. I've had enough of the divisions of the past, the wars of the past. I want to pursue peace, stability, unity, reconciliation, and shared prosperity. And the message would be that there are very many Josephs out there with economic master plans or blueprints that have not been released to the body of Christ and to the nations in which they function or operate. think we must pray hard as the body of Christ for the Josephs to be identified, but we must also pray very hard for the Davids to be identified, for the Esthers and the Mordecais to be identified, so that instead of corruption, poor governance, or maladministration, you can have a justice, righteousness, fairness, and equity-driven government and functionaries in our governance system. But as we do that, we'll need to be to move much closer to God, because there is nothing happening that God is not aware of, and he has the solution ready that he is itching to release to us. But instead of focusing on him as the author and the finisher of our faith, as the provider of all the wisdom we need to resolve these problems, we seek consultants and all sorts of other people who have all the nice sounding words to utter, but nothing divine to avail to us that is unifying and that would redound to the peace and shared prosperity that we're looking for. So I think it's about time for us to be very disciplined, take gatherings such as the one that Pastor Angus Barton had not so long ago, key into the prophetic words that were released there and around that event. Run with it and allow God to usher in his government. Remember, however insurmountable our problems might appear to be, this God, it took him only 6 days to create all creation. So turning the economy around is a small thing. As a matter of fact, he has revealed to some of us that there is a lot of gold that remains untapped in this country.
Yes, I know.
There is even oil. There is a lot of diamond.
Yes.
And the
treasures.
God who caused water to gush out of a rock, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who, as a consequence of lifting up the rod, caused the Red Sea to open and dry up in between, is still on the throne, and he can do the unimaginable. The God who caused the anointing upon the body of Elisha to be so strong that when a dead man touched his dead and dry bones, he came back to life. He's the same God that we are worshiping. We just have to strengthen our faith and believe that the God who can reverse the irreversible, the God who can cause a man who has been dead for 4 days and whose body is stinking to come back alive as if he never died, the one who caused the dry bones to come together and manifest as a mighty army, is still the same God that we are praying and worshiping. So we need to be more serious about God. Let's not play Christianity. Let us not be more accusing than intercessory. Let us talk less, but pray more. That way, the kingdom of God that is on the verge of being ushered into this nation, because it must first come here before it goes to the rest of Africa, will then be ushered in. We've got to pray hard and fast for that to eventuate, to the good of all of us, black and white. Well, God has done all that needs to be done. As I said, it starts with Africa. The prophetic word was released by one of those who attended Evangelist Angus Barkham's meeting. She said she saw a vision, particularly at the time when the Briton was playing that trumpet, singing Amazing Grace. She saw the principalities and rulers of darkness being chased outside of the borders of South Africa. And the angels of God are waiting in the periphery of South Africa, waiting for us to get ready for the ushering in of the government of God. And that it is going to take intense and earnest prayer for God to unleash his government into this nation. Now, we've got to key into that so that God does what he has always wanted to do. He needs our cooperation. He needs to use us. We've got to be more serious about kingdom business and the need for the government of God to be released rather than pursue our own hidden agendas and individualistic pursuit of wealth, power, positions, and whatever material possessions we might be hungry